The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Hi, and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you are doing great today. It is a good day to do great. It's always a good day to do great. We are going to talk today. I'm going to get right into it because I wish I had 20 hours today to talk about the topic I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk about college admissions. And if you have a child, well, certainly if you have a child in high school, you are very inundated with it. If you have a child at any age, you think about it, you hear about it. I get letters all the time and emails asking me, and I am not an expert on this. In fact, I know probably less than I should know, for sure. But my guest today knows everything about this, and I'm really thrilled to have Dr. Michelle Hernandez joining us. She's going to talk to us about getting into college and what kids in high school need to know. I mean, I would say it's a lot different than when we went to high school. Certainly, it gets a lot more press. There's a lot more competition. There's a lot more kids going to school. There's a lot more everything about it, and a lot more you as parents need to know. Dr. Hernandez is president of Hernandez College Consulting and co-president of Application Bootcamp. Terrific website. Both terrific websites. You definitely should go on them. They are on Shannon's Corner. So if at any time during this conversation you want to go to her websites, please do so. And if you want to give us a call, 845-651-1110 and ask us a question. Anytime during this broadcast, please do. She is a former admissions officer at Dartmouth College and author of, I think, three books. One of them is A for Admission. And I want to welcome Dr. Michelle Hernandez to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I am going to pick your brain because you have a brain that every parent needs to pick. I get emails and letters all the time asking me these questions, and I truly don't know the answer. I probably, like most parents, feel a little bit knowledgeable and then a little bit frightened because it seems so much bigger than we are. I mean, it's one of these things that seems to be like you have to delve into it like it's a huge, huge onion to peel. And I guess that is true, right? It is much harder than it used to be, and there is a lot that parents need to know, right?
I mean, I think that's true. I think the colleges, for their part, have tried to make the process much more transparent, but honestly, they don't do a very good job, as anyone who's, you know, visited five or more colleges can tell you, that often what admissions officers say and what they do are two different things. And I think it's a matter of doing the research, you know, books like my A is for Admission book, which actually was geared toward making the process much more transparent, you know, helps parents a lot. And obviously, private consultants like myself help parents navigate, this very difficult process, very stressful.
Right. Well, and that's true. That's why we need consultants like you. I mean, it is stressful. And the truth is, if your child wants to get in a particular school, certainly an Ivy League, you have to do some work to get there. It's not just, geez, you're brilliant, they will pluck you out. You have to do some work to get there. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Ivy Leagues, because that's where somebody is going to hire you to help their child get into an Ivy League. And it does matter. I mean, that really makes a difference throughout their career. But is it as hard now? Obviously, a C student is not going to want to go to an Ivy League, I wouldn't think, or want to get in there because it would be way over their head. But if you have a particular smart student who does well, what are their chances of getting into a Harvard, a Yale, a Princeton?
Well, that's a pretty big question, and I wouldn't even, I would go back to your first assumption that C students wouldn't do well. The funny part is, it's getting into the schools that are hard. Doing well at the schools isn't nearly as hard as you think. There are plenty of C students who are ice hockey recruits, football recruits, who, you know, actually probably have better grades in college going to Harvard than they did when they were in high school. So there are plenty of students there. In fact, this is, I think, why it's so difficult and something parents don't realize, not just at the Ivy Leagues, but let's broaden this to Stanford, MIT, I mean, many top schools don't happen to be Ivy League. Ivy League was simply a term for the football league, which includes only the eight Eastern schools that you know, but that doesn't include Stanford, MIT, Amherst, Williams. But here's a shocking statistic. 40% of the spots at all of those schools, not just the Ivies, are taken up with special cases, meaning athletic recruits, minority admits, a lot of different specialty cases, development cases, legacies. So the spots left for the rest of the population of the quote-unquote smart kids just applying with no hook, let's say, we'll call them unhooked applicants, there's only 60% of the spots left. So kind of like going to a movie theater and having, you know, rows 1 to 10, and rows 1 to 4 are totally blocked off, and you have to start with row 5.
That's an interesting statistic, which I didn't know, and a lot of parents didn't know. I mean, we all know that sports get in there, and you're right, they don't have to. I just recently was talking to a parent whose son is a good student, not a great student, and Harvard and Brown keep calling him because he's a great athlete. And they keep kind of lowering the bar and saying, well, if you get this on your SATs, they started out high and they keep coming down. So I guess what you're saying is a lot of those students aren't such great students. They're great athletes. So they get in and they leave. They take up a 40% from the rest of the kids.
Right. So, and the recruited athletes, believe it or not, a lot of people like to, you know, pick on one group like minorities or development cases. But actually, if you're going to pick on any group, it's the recruited athletes who take up the biggest chunk of the class. Recruited athletes at all the top schools take up 17 to 20%. That's a fifth of the class. I think a lot of schools, and this is just my opinion that I'm volunteering, is that, you know, the football team actually takes up an inordinate number of spots, I think to the detriment of many of the other strong athletes on who happen to row crew or play squash. I think it would be more equitable to all the other athletes if they simply either eliminated the football team, since Ivy League football is notoriously bad anyway, or simply just didn't recruit as many kids to play football and let it more, you know, be a club team or a lower level team. But again, that was my unsolicited opinion
on
football.
I hear you. Actually, it makes a lot more sense just have the school have the team made up of the students that get into the school as opposed the other way around of, you know, setting it up. But I guess they have some good reason for that. Talking about the Ivy Leagues, how much do I read recently that rank doesn't matter as much as SATs and GPA. And obviously they would go hand in hand. And the essay matters. I mean, is it just, I have a friend that has a daughter in a $40,000 a year high school in Manhattan, and she swears because of that she will get into the best college. I tend to think that they don't always want that. Are they looking for just those privileged kids that do well in expensive schools, or do they want the top student in an average, let's say, public school somewhere in the middle of nowhere?
Right. Well, I mean, definitely that person who said that, the parent is off base, because it's quite the opposite. And that was one of the, I think, shocking statistics from my first book, A's for Admission, is that the admit rates from schools like Horace Mann or Trinity, the rates themselves actually are usually lower than a typical public school, because the schools are making a very conscious effort to diversify, to unprepify, not to just take kids from top schools who are privileged. The difference is, though, a lot of those hooked kids that we talk about, the 40% of hooked kids, happen to attend schools like those fancy schools. So it's a little bit of a false inference. If you go to any of those schools, they'll tell you what percentage of their kids go to Ivy League and other top colleges. It's a little unfair, though, because the deck is somewhat stacked. You have many more legacies, development cases, you know, fancy parents who make lots of money who donate to the school. All of those things come into play, but the colleges will tell you that they definitely would rather, I mean, if I were a student applying, I would rather be the valedictorian in my school in Missouri with strong preps, you know, SAT scores and subject test scores and an amazing leadership record than, you know, third decile in my class at a fancy private school. They definitely do not give any extra credit for fancy private schools. But as a parent, it's more a matter, less a matter of strategy and more a matter of picking what's the better school for your child, regardless of, I wouldn't pick it on the strategy of getting in. I would pick it as where they will thrive, because the key is you have to be the top at any school. It's actually harder to be at the top of your selective private school because the competition is much more intense.
And that also goes into college, too. Shouldn't they apply to where they think they're really going to thrive and be happy, as you say?
Sure. I mean, that's why I kind of object to the whole Ivy League thing, because go back to what I said earlier. I mean, Ivy League is literally a football league. I mean, that was why it was called the Ivy League. But think of all the fantastic schools that aren't a member of those eight schools.
Right.
I mean, Stanford is certainly a top college, Caltech, MIT, Amherst, Williams, Duke University, University of Chicago, Carleton. I mean, there's so many schools that are Ivy level in terms of their average scores. I mean, if you look at Carleton College in Minnesota, their average SATs are comparable to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. There's really nothing magical about Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, in my opinion, and I think that a lot of kids would do better if they actually focused on, I'm interested in classics. Which school has a better classics department? And you'll probably find out it's not one of those three. It's probably somewhere you hadn't even thought of. So it's very important, I think, to look beyond the name, and the schools themselves do not like being picked based on name anyway. So it doesn't help you get in to say, I'm applying to Harvard because it's prestigious. That's the last thing they want to hear.
Well, and it's sounds like it's just as difficult to get into some of those other schools you mentioned as it is to Harvard. I mean, Williams is I think, the number one in liberal arts, and that's probably just as difficult to get in.
For sure. Although if you applied early decision to Williams, you would have a higher chance of getting in. So part of it has to do with using an early strategy, and that's one thing that I focus on with my application boot camp kids. When everyone who comes to our live application boot camp in Boston, we evaluate them, and we also set up an early plan for them, ideally combining an early decision program with non-binding early action programs so that they might actually have four or five shots. So, for example, if you applied, let's say, to Williams Early Decision, and just as backup, you applied to five early action schools that were not, you know, binding early action or single choice, like Stanford, that would conflict. There's plenty of programs that don't conflict. That way, even if you didn't get into Williams, you might get into three or four non-binding early action schools, and this is before you even hit the regular round. So it's really good for parents and students to know that the best way to increase your chances of getting in is to actually pick a school that has early decision, which usually has much higher acceptance rates, and some schools, even University of Pennsylvania, literally fills up half of the class through the early decision round, and only half the spaces are left when 20 times more kids are applying in regular. So it's really good to do your research, and also not to worry about financial aid as much, because I think one fear that students have is, well, if I get in early to, let's say, UPenn or Williams, I won't be able to afford it. And that's simply not true. They give the same amount of aid, if not more, and you could always appeal if you didn't get enough under the early decision agreement, and they would let you out of it if for some reason you couldn't work out the finances. So that's one thing I would encourage students to do, take advantage of early decision and early action.
And when does early decision have to be made, and what are the negatives about it? I mean, I've heard negatives that I'm not quite sure what they are, but I've heard people say that. And when do you have to make this decision?
Well, that's the thing. I think parents don't do the research if they think there are any negatives, because there are no negatives, because the odds are so much better of getting in. I mean, the only negative would be if you didn't apply early and then you applied to Williams in regular and you got rejected. That would be the negative. You never got into the school to have to make the choice. I mean, the thing is, you have to have visited and know what your clear first choice is.
Right.
You know, but the difference is it's November 1st deadline of your senior year is for early action and early decision. Some schools are November 15th. So November 1st or 15th, the regular decision is not far behind that. It's only January 1st, and that's after Christmas break. You really only have a couple of weeks, literally, between one deadline and the other. So it's not that you have to decide months ahead of time,
right,
but you have to do the college visits in the summer or fall so you have a clear first choice.
Gotcha. Okay, really, really great advice. We have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more great advice parents need to know and students need to know about getting into college. We are talking with Dr. Michelle Hernandez, and we will be back here in just a few on WTBQ.
Cell phones can be an invaluable business tool or your lifeline in an emergency, but they can also be a real distraction, especially when you're operating a motor vehicle. In New York and New Jersey, talking and texting while driving is against the law. WRG Sanford Insurance urges you to take these simple precautions for safer driving. Use a hands-free device. Let your voicemail pick up the call in hazardous conditions. Don't engage in stressful or emotional conversations. Protect yourself and others. Don't let cell phones distract you from safe driving. This message was brought to you by Warwick Resource Group, John W. Sanford & Son Insurance. Call 986-2211 to get a free quote. Visit them online for instant auto and home quotes at www.warwickresource.com. Warwick Resource Group. They're where you live and where you work. Call 986-2211 to get a free quote. Call 986-2211 today.
Are you a business in Orange County that's frustrated with a computer network that just doesn't work right? Are you frustrated that your current IT support team isn't responsive enough? Or do you worry about the security of your business data? CMIT Solutions of Goshen is here to help you and your business. CMIT Solutions is a nationwide IT solutions provider that provides a personalized service of a local owner. CMIT Solutions utilizes an enterprise-level support plan that's priced right for small businesses. And we offer guaranteed response times, and we guarantee our work. Call 291-8833 to receive a free business technology and security assessment. That's 291-8833 or visit cmitsolutions.com/GoshenNY. CMIT Solutions of Goshen is here to help you and your business. Call 291-8833. That's 291-8833 or visit cmitsolutions.com/GoshenNY.
Quality is the tradition at Warwick Press. For all your printing needs, promotional items, flyers, rubber stamps, business cards, copies, presentations, and more, business leaders always turn to Warwick Press. Come to Warwick Press for ideas to impress potential clients and business associates. Quick, courteous, and professional results make you and your business look great. Warwick Press, 33 South Street in Warwick. Call 986-9846. That's 986-9846 for Warwick Press in Warwick.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Behind on your payments or barely making minimums? Do your massive interest payments have you running like mad in circles? How long can you keep it up? Stop running. Let the Thomas & Law Group carefully plan your escape. The Thomas & Law Group has proven itself for over 18 solid years, helping thousands of people like you and me reclaim our financial future. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offices nationwide. And the best part? There are no upfront fees at all. You won't pay a dime until the job's done. No upfront costs, no monthly fees, no banking fees. No other law firm does that. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But really, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call the Thomas & Law Group right away for a free, no-obligation consult with a trained legal analyst at 800-243-9802. Call now, because you're tired of running in circles. 800-243-9802. 800-243-9802.
Your new community webpage is WTBQ.com. Log on to our new improved website for updated news and weather. Find out what's going on in your area on www.wtbq.com.
WTBQ. Hi, and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux-Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today. And don't go anywhere. If you have a child at any age, you need to listen. But if you have a child in high school, you really need to listen, because they are headed off to college most likely. And there's a lot you don't know, but my guest today, Dr. Michelle Hernandez, knows everything. She is the president of Hernandez College Consulting and Application Bootcamp. She has written 3 books. They are Aid for Admission, Acing the College Education, and Don't Worry, You'll Get In. All terrific books, all books that parents definitely need. She's also been on the Today Show and I think Good Morning America, CNN, kind of everywhere. Michelle, you have been talking about this because it's a huge topic and parents really need to know. You were talking about early admissions before we took a break. And one thing I want to get, I get questions all the time. I was recently featured in a magazine saying I'm an education expert, and I'm not. But I got somebody answering me all these questions. And one of the questions I got was, what does my child need to take during high school? Now, I know that a lot of high schools have this early college thing, and they have this, you know, get all the college credits you can so that you can go to a school and go in a little late with all these college credits. And I've always thought AP was the way to go. Do you have any opinion on that?
Sure. And just to clarify, there's 2 separate tracks. I mean, applying early decision to a college isn't actually applying any accelerated way. You're literally just applying a few weeks before the regular decision deadline. I mean, that's still the same process.
Same process.
Early decision at the college is one issue. Graduating from high school earlier by taking extra credits is a totally different matter. And most of the top schools actually frown on kids who graduate early because it's hard enough to cram in what you need in 4 years. Definitely harder to cram it in
right.
3. But your question about the APs is well taken. I mean, colleges look for, it's relative to the high school you go to. They look for, in your high school, maybe your high school has international baccalaureate instead of advanced placement. They look for what is the most advanced course load that you can be taking at that particular school, and how is the student doing with that challenging course load. And they even look for things like in your area of specialty. So if you were applying as a potential engineering major, it would be perfectly fine, for example, to double up on AP calculus and maybe an AP science and skip history senior year, or the other way around. If you were a humanist, you might double up on history and English and not be taking an AP science. So there's lots of flexibility within it, but the general rule is that they rate your rigor of course load, and so does your guidance counselor. So whatever's the most challenging at your high school and also focused, aligned with your interest, is what students should be doing.
Okay. And how about all this talk about volunteering and having this resume for college saying you did all these fabulous things, you went to Europe, you took care of kids, you took care of dying kids with cancer. I mean, you know, I know people that go crazy with this, and
and schedule their kids all summer to do things so it looks great on their college resume. Is something like that really necessary?
Well, here's the formula. Again, parents should keep in mind, and I'm not trying to reduce everything to a formula, but it's
right.
a good handy moniker to keep in your head, is that 80% of the entire decision at selective schools is based on academics and 20% on everything else, including whatever else you do, athletics, volunteer, a job, whatever, only adds up to 20%. So it really doesn't make sense to spend 80% of your time in something that counts 20%. And one thing that I sell on my website, which I definitely recommend parents purchase, is the summer program guide, because instead of doing all this, I mean, of course, if you're interested in volunteer work, I'm not trying to talk students out of it. Many high schools require it. But the point is that the colleges, top colleges, look for how have you gone above and beyond on the academic side. So have you spent your summers studying something that you care about? If you're into astronomy, they would look at how have you gone above and beyond in astronomy, or how have you gone above and beyond in the classics. And you pretty much have to do that in summers and, you know, during vacations, because there's really no other free time to do it. So, you know, again, I'm not discouraging kids from volunteering. I'm just saying that filling out a huge resume isn't really the answer to this. They'd much rather see depth, passion, and commitment to a couple of things instead of being spread out all over the place.
Gotcha. I understand. That makes logical sense. Tell me about your application boot camp. What does that do? And you have programs where, I guess, high school students can go. And what goes on there?
Right. It's really a unique program, and we were the first people who started it, and we started it. I think this is our ninth annual application boot camp. It takes place in Boston on the East Coast, although we
Great
have
place,
people
yeah.
who fly in from overseas and from all over the U.S. to come to them. And we work with a pretty small group of kids, 20 to 25 students in each session in Boston. And basically what we do is what high schools should be doing, but they simply don't have the time.
Right.
We evaluate the kids when they sign up with us anytime junior year, so not even, but this is way before they get to the boot camp. And then during the four-day intensive program, we have eight of us in the room for maybe 20 kids, and we literally run them through the entire essay process, activity list, awards list, how to fill out all the different parts and supplements of the Common App. We do interview training with them, and we also give them a personalized list of schools, you know, with an early strategy, so they come back to school in the fall of senior year knowing their application strategy plan, having all their essays and supplements done, and they have a plan, and they don't have to waste time senior fall. And this is a point that I would remind all students, you really don't want to save this till senior fall, because the last thing colleges see is your grades from senior fall. So if you spend 50 hours senior fall doing your essays, you're probably going to have a grade drop. And the most important thing is that your grades are very strong your senior fall.
I see. So having a plan, it sounds like, is really crucial. Regardless of where you want to go, what you want to do, you need to have a plan. You can't haphazardly jump into it in your senior year and say, this is what I want to do. It's a little too late then, right? I mean, you need
correct,
to. Yeah.
Correct. And it's not only that. I mean, I think sometimes kids aren't realistic. I mean, I think a lot of just, you know, smart kids, I mean, if you think about it, you know, schools like Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, you know, literally take 7, 8, 9%. They're rejecting 90% of the applicant pool. And I can tell you that almost everyone in that applicant pool is, you know, in the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids in their class with high scores and achievement. So I think kids don't do the research enough to see, well, gosh, if I'm in the second decile, I really shouldn't even waste my early application on Princeton. I should actually look at schools where I'm in range for, because the range of schools is determined really by your scores, your grades, and your academic achievements. Again, unless you fall into a specialty group and you have a tag of some kind, like, as I said, an athletic recruit, a minority, whatever your other special flag is. But if you don't have one of those, you kind of have to be realistic. And I think what happens is parents have this wishful thinking, like, well, I've always wanted my kid to go to Yale, but they don't really know anything about Yale or the process of getting in. And then they waste an early there. They get rejected out of hand, like the other 85, 90%. And then they're stuck in regular, where the odds drop 5 to 6. It's 5 to 6 times harder in regular. So you're better off applying to a realistic school that's a little bit of a reach in early than
gotcha.
Doing a Hail Mary pass and having it be dropped at the touchdown line.
Can you only apply to one or two early admissions? I mean, why can't you just do a bunch of them?
Well, I didn't explain all the different types of early. You can only apply to one early decision school, because early decision is binding, but early decision gives you the biggest boost. So some schools have early decision. You know, in the Ivy League, there's, you know, Dartmouth, Brown, UPenn, Columbia. Those schools have Cornell. They have early decision. Some schools have early action, like University of Chicago, Villanova, Boston College. Those have early action. That's non-binding. So you can combine early decision, one early decision, with as many early actions you can. The exception is, and these are the four oddball schools that people tend to get obsessed about, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford have a very unique program called single choice early action. So, right, it's non-binding. You don't have to accept their offer of admission, but you can't mix that with anything. It's one school only.
Gotcha. Okay. And essays are important. SATs are important. All of these things, as you said, you know, you can't wait to the end. So, you know, all those 4 years, probably all, you know, 12 years, but certainly those last 4 years are really, really crucial.
Right. Well, the funny part is, I mean, I get, you know, for my private consulting business, I start with kids in eighth grade. I mean, honestly, if I started in third grade, I'd probably get parents to sign up, but that's the last thing I would want to do is start with a third grader. I'm just, you know, using that for purposes of illustration.
True.
But I started in eighth grade, and you really do have to map things out. I mean, decisions you make in eighth grade affect which classes you're in high school, planning testing so it's spread out over 4 years instead of jammed into, you know, junior spring when you're not going to do well on all those tests at once. I mean, you have to spread them out, and you have to sometimes do extra courses in the summer so you're prepared for them. Sometimes you need tutoring for them. I mean, there's a lot of planning. I mean, I basically become, you know, the family's full-time, whatever you want to call it, tutor, coach, assistant, you know, psychological counselor, I think, sometimes, too. It's very stressful. Part of my job is, you know, dealing with my students' nervous breakdowns, and it happens to all of us, especially my juniors. You know, my full class of juniors right now, I think everyone's had a nervous breakdown sometime this year where they've, you know, been in tears because it's very stressful. But, you know, our job is to manage the stress, and all our kids who come to boot camp are less stressed out than their classmates, and they write us year after year. It was so easy. You know, I applied to the right school. I made the right choice. You know, I had all my essays done over the summer while my classmates were pulling out their hair.
Wow.
We were done.
Okay, well, that's why we need you, and that's why we need your websites, your book, and definitely Application Boot Camp. We have to wrap it up for today, but Dr. Michelle Hernandez, I thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, go on her websites. They are on Shannon's Corner. You can get it through WTBQ. There's a hot link there. Definitely go there. Get the books. Go to her websites. Apply for Application Boot Camp, and good luck. We have to wrap it up for today, but until next time, don't forget to make good choices.